You're listening to Scratching and Thriving, a lifestyle podcast hosted by two dope professionals who are passionate about empowering people to thrive. I'm Dr. A.
And I'm Brandon. And we are two longtime friends who met about 20 years ago during undergraduate studies. And we took two different paths in life. I'm a healthcare executive and lifestyle guru.
And I'm an educator and entrepreneur.
And we are here to bring you the content that will help you thrive.
Good day, Thrivers. It's your two favorite hosts here, Dr. A and Brandon. How are you, Brandon?
I'm well. Good day, Thrivers. Hope you all have had a good week thus far.
Yes. It's been a tough week, but a good week. A lot going on, a lot of things that are unsettling, but nonetheless, still a good week.
Yeah, because I know the Rona is down here kicking everybody behind in the good Florida.
Let me tell you. And up here, we're worried about, I guess everybody is worried about, what are we doing with these kids in the fall? So a lot going on.
Because I ain't got no kids, but I'm going to tell you, mine wouldn't be in there.
Oh, hun, let me tell you, no worries.
I was thinking, okay, so now you open restaurants back up and you saw how the spike surged everywhere in the U.S., right? Mm-hmm. But then you want to put 2,000 children in one four-wall building. And you telling me that we got to sit 50% capacity in the restaurant because you don't want us 6 feet within each other, but you trying to cram 2,000 children in a building.
And anywhere where you have groups of children, that is like an incubator for germs.
You better say it. Because somehow, what you don't realize is when Corona first came out, they were saying that the original strain did not affect children, but they were carriers. They were vectors.
Right.
So they originally, because, you know, as the virus grows and spreads and mutates, mm-hmm. So the original form of the virus, it didn't go for your kids, but they were vectors. They were transporters of the virus from person to person. So you finna put 2,000 vectors in one building.
Right.
Okay. I just want to throw it out there. Right. And then you want to come home to your house.
Thank you. Well, that's not actually what we're talking about today. However, we do need to revisit that topic in more detail.
Yes. So, Thrive is more to come on that one.
Right. What we're actually doing today is a follow-up conversation to a previous episode where we talked a lot about what does it mean to be successful? What does that look like? What's important? What are some steps? What are some things that you should consider? We got a lot of feedback on that episode regarding more information about some of the specific recommendations that we made. So one that really jumped out to us was the goal setting piece. And so today we're going to talk a lot about what our process is for goal setting, what we consider important as a part of that process, and just kind of give you guys some tips as to how you can set goals and actually achieve those goals and thrive, even in uncertain times.
Right. So the first step in setting the goals, defining what the goal is or which goal you want to try to go for, right? We have decided there are three different types of goals. So mm-hmm. according to Adrian and Brandon, there are three different types of goals. Mm-hmm. One is short term, which is 4 to 8 weeks, like 1 to 2 months, you know, mm-hmm. like that little, I want to lose 5 pounds or I want to save 250 to put down on something, right? So that's mm-hmm. your short term. So your intermediate goal would be a little bit longer. It's usually between 6 months and a year. Mm-hmm. Something that you have to do a little bit more research on, a little bit more planning on, but you can definitely get on track within, I don't know, a couple months of working the kinks out. But then your long-term goal, which is, you know, my favorite question in a job interview, is what is your long-term goal? So I say long-term meaning 3 to 5 years. Right. What's your five-year plan?
Right. And part of that is you kind of have an idea of what your goal is. So it could be financial. It could be health-based. It could be professional, career-based. It could be family.
spiritual, religious, but whatever it is, you kind of have an overarching idea of what it is. You know, maybe I want to lose weight, don't know how much. Maybe I want, I'm currently pre-diabetic, so I want to get out of that phase, eat better, live better. Maybe I'm in a lot of debt and I want a budget. I want to learn about that. So the first thing is to identify kind of what those big bucket items are and then start doing research. Start conducting your research.
Right, right. Your research will take that generalized goal of I want to lose weight to get it real specific. So look at your research. What is it going to take typically to do this weight loss program? Or what does it take typically to save this amount of money or make this career goal? So you want to, once you do your research, you want to get down to the specific goal. So you want to say, okay, yeah, I want to lose weight, but I need to do it in like 2 months. So what, realistically speaking, how much weight can I lose in 2 months? So you have identified that it's a short-term goal. You generalized the goal. You researched it. So now you're down to, okay, what is my specific goal? So I do want to lose weight in a two-month period of time. And I know that doing my research, it tells me 10 pounds is probably the most I'm going to lose. So what kind of plan and what kind of steps do I need to take to get to that 10-pound weight loss?
Right. So, and if you're looking at that from maybe a financial goal perspective, the research phase of that has two phases, right? So there's the, what do my finances look like? What's my cash flow? How much am I spending? What am I bringing in? What assets do I have? What are my investments? What does my retirement look like? So that's my personal research, making sure I am aware of what those numbers look like. I have them documented. What bills, when do I visualize paying off some of those bills and how will I pay them off? All of that is a part of the goal setting piece, but knowing your numbers is important. And then the second piece is knowing your options, right? So am I maximizing my investments? Am I contributing as much as I can to my 401k? Am I using the best budget year over year for myself, right? Like, so do I know what my cash flow is? Do I have a cash flow problem, period? Like, is there a deficit issue with I'm spending far more than what I'm bringing in? How much more? you know, and where is it going? So actually being able to do that type of research and what the ratio of debt should be for your income, for your household size, making sure you know that, because those are guides. It will help you focus your goals.
Right. And once you start doing research, don't get discouraged when it looks like the length goal that you set is not going to work. So you may get in there and decide that, you know what, with all these folks asking me to do according to this research I'm doing, these 10 pounds ain't gonna work in 2 months. So adjust your goal, adjust the time limit. Don't stress. I mean, nothing happens overnight. It does take time to work through everything. Just for example, you know, our generation likes to have instant gratification. And in my role, I do a lot of hiring of nurse leaders and a lot of staff nurse mentoring and things like that. And, you know, they come out of school and they think they spend a year on the floor, then they're going to be somebody's manager. Well, no. You first of all, research the job role you're trying to go into. Grab somebody's job description. Look at it. What are they expecting you to perform in that job? What certifications are they looking for? What kind of education are they looking for? Find out what they want you to have to be in that role. Once you identify that, then you make a plan. And it's probably going to be more of a long-term goal-setting plan, like 3 to 5 years, to get to the next level. So people go in thinking, okay, I got this master's degree and I've been a nurse for a year, then I'm going to be somebody's director. Negative. You need to spend some time going through some trials and tribulations to get to where you need. You need to be able to tell a story to get to where you're going. Because I'm going to tell you, I done been through a lot. I lived through Ebola, H1N1, and I have never dealt with anything like a pandemic, like coronavirus. So, yeah, I've had a lot of experience. I've been doing nursing greater than 15 years, and I am still leaning on research, evidence-based practice, and other people's experiences to help guide me through the role that I'm already in. And I'm pretty high up on the food chain right now, but I didn't start here.
So, but, you know, you said something that I think is really important, and that's the piece of looking at other people's experiences.
Absolutely.
Find people who are doing, it may not be exactly what it is that you want to do from a career perspective, but it's close. And figure out what their path was. It may not have been a straight path. It may have been the off-beaten path where maybe they started in one career and ended up here by happenstance.
Right.
Maybe they changed careers as they got older. But find people who are doing what you're doing and look at what their trajectory is. You don't want to, you know, mimic per se what they're doing, but you can learn from their experience.
Right. And you don't want to pinhole yourself into one thing either. Because I got some friends who were CPA accountants before they became physicians. Mm-hmm. And had they just let it stop there, they would be miserable. Now, yeah, they made good money. But are you happy in what you do? Because one thing about it is money comes after enjoyment. If you enjoy what you do, the money will come regardless of what field you're in. Now, people think you get into healthcare and you're going to make a whole lot of money. Yeah, you make good money, but you're not getting rich. I mean, how much can you pay me for saving someone's life? You really can't. There's no value, monetary value you can put on that. So you have to do it not to get rich, but to enjoy it. So set your goals around things that you would love, like you enjoy doing, because it makes the whole process of getting from one point to the next much easier.
So the first step is research. Make sure you know you have the information, whether it's know your numbers, know what your options are, but research. Research whatever it is you say your goal is. The second step is to refine it. After you've done your research, refine it. It was very general at first. Now you, based off of your research, refine exactly what it is you want to do. So I said I wanted to lose weight. Now I can say I want to lose 30 pounds by this date, and here's what I'm going to do it. So that third step is to sort of map it out.
Right. Map it out. And don't get discouraged along the way, because I mean, you can put a lot of plans in place, but we don't make the ultimate plan. We all know that. So just be open-minded. So, for example, I got into nursing and I wanted to do trauma. I did trauma. It was good. But at some point in time, you get tired of running down the concrete hallways all night and all day long. So you want to do something different. I've done corrections. I've done recovery room. I've done ICU. I've done a lot of different things. And I thought at one point I want to be a chief nursing officer. Now, serving in the assistant nursing officer role, I can tell you that might not be what I want to do. Don't tell nobody. But I like house operations. I like the way to see things work. I like to see how things flow. You know, I like to put a process in place and see what the outcome looks like and make that affect the overall stay for the patient. So I'm more of a COO than I am a CNO. Just by my thought process, right? Nothing against CNOs. I have one that is fantastic. I love working with him. I just don't want his job.
So the three R's, right? Research, revise, and create that roadmap. That is what you should do. Our recommendations for goal setting.
Right.
Let me ask you this, though. People will say, oh, you know, I can't do that because I'm just not in a place. I'm not ready to go ahead and set out a plan. Some stuff I have to get done before I set these goals, right? And that has always been baffling to me because that's the whole purpose of setting goals, right? Is to get this focus.
Well, so I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little tidbit that my nurse mentor says to me a lot. Growth is uncomfortable. Uncomfortable means growth. A lot of people don't want to get out of their comfort zone. But once you step out of that comfort zone, you begin to grow. And once you begin to grow, you are going to be uncomfortable. But that means that you're on that roadmap headed to where you need to be. So if you're not uncomfortable and it's not a challenge to you, then you're not headed in the right direction. And I've already based my career on the fact when I get comfortable and get bored, and I'm no longer learning anything, that means I need to step into another role or another career.
And so you have to be uncomfortable, but you also have to know there's no perfect time to start a goal.
Never.
You just have to go for it. You really do.
Agreed. And, you know, if you're waiting for a perfect time, that will never happen. Because if you look at any roadmap, it's never a straight line on a roadmap, right?
Right.
is right. all kind of zigzag. You got mountains and deserts and oceans and lakes and all kind of things you have to jump over and jump under to get to what you need. So those ocean lakes and mountains are called trials and tribulations, and they just happen. Mm-hmm.
And there's multiple ways to get there. So when there's a roadblock that's up, you look for the alternate route.
Correct. Instead you of know, taking I-55, you going 75 north, west, east, and then back down to 10.
Right. And so I think it's important to understand that it will be uncomfortable. It's not easy. And there's never a perfect time. And I'm a firm believer in, you know, there are three things you really do keep secret. That's your money, your love life.
Amen.
And what your moves are.
Right. Move in silence.
That's right.
And you want to know why you move in silence? Because everybody do not have your best interest at heart.
That's right. There's a saying that says, when you build in silence, they don't know what to attack. And so you have to keep in mind, everybody can't support your vision because they can't see it. It's your vision. It's your goal. And you do have to have sounding boards and people that you can trust. But when you're running around telling everybody, girl, I'm going to save me $20,000 and start my business.
You know what they told me. You got $20,000 I can ask for. I need to borrow. Right. I need to borrow. You know how many times, if I could find, ooh, these hands, ooh, don't get me started. Please, hold on tight. All right, Adrian, I think, you know what? I think that we did preach a word to the folks today.
All right.
Good conversation.
Mm-hmm. And we want to hear how you're thriving.
Right.
So let us know. Let us know. What's your definition for success? What does it take for you to thrive? What has been your experience? We want to hear that from you. So share it with us so that we can learn from your experiences and other people, some of our other listeners and thrivers can learn as well.
Right. And look us up on Instagram, Facebook, and send us emails because we do want to hear your success stories. And, you know, we also want to hear those things that you may be struggling with because, you know, we may be young, but we've been through a whole lot of trials and tribulations that we can tell you how to overcome some of these humps. I'm just telling you.